Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Just relax. Anyway, mate, welcome to the Working Class Podcast.
Cheers.
Do you want to give a wee description on just what you do before we get into it?
Two aspects. The first aspect that I do is a clinical hypnotherapist. Work in Dunmurry. I have a clinic in Dunmurry helping people with behavioural problems like stop smoking and anxieties and things like that. Motivational for business people. Most of the clients I would see would be either business people or sports people. Because I've been in sports all my life, so I know what it's like to get unmotivated.
Falling
and I know what it's like to get motivated again, do you know what I mean? So I've been in business all my life too, so I know what it's like to get overwhelmed and anxious in the business, you know? So, and the other aspect of it is to take the hypnosis into like a corporate setting or like a bar or a club, just to show people how you can use hypnosis in the entertainment aspect of it as well.
Yeah. My aunt, she got a lot of years ago, she actually... Someone learned, done it to her, just quit smoking.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up quit smoking. But is that something you can do to them on that day and ask them to quit? Or is it like a...
Motivation just? Like,
no, I mean, so say someone's smoking, can you get them to stop?
20 minutes.
Seriously?
It doesn't matter how long. See, the thing about it is, I believe that when you get to the stage around something, when you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired, when you've just had enough, you know, you've tried everything else, you're just ready to change. You know, so most people come to me for stop smoking. They've tried everything else. You know, they've tried all the patches and they've tried all of them, but they've got this stage now where they really don't want to do it anymore. So the only thing left is habit.
Mm-hmm.
So what it's actually doing is showing their, what's called their unconscious mind, that there's no pleasure in doing this anymore. So it's getting in and sort of like flipping that mental switch where you're associating more pain to continuing to smoke. And pleasure of, you know,
but they're not leaving in a hypnosis state, are they?
No. So what I would do is, if they came to me for stop smoking, first of all I would send them a wee audio first, and what it does is it gets rid of all the triggers that they've developed around as a smoker.
Because
if you do something over a period of time, it's a habit. So there's loads of unconscious habits. So the first thing is about breaking that, and then so when they come to me, they're sort of primed to be a non-smoker. And the reason why I believe that I'm so successful is because I don't help people to stop smoking. I help people become a non-smoker. Yeah. And it's totally different, do you know what I mean? You're not trying to give something up. You're moving towards something totally different.
Well, Robert, I'm glad I met you today because I have a list about that today. And off camera after this podcast, you're going to help me starting the day, right?
He needs to have a drink first. Is that a common one? Would you get much people trying to get you off a drink or get them off a drink?
I sort of pick who you work with. And I specialise in anxiety and I specialise in stop smoking, and that's what I love
right.
to do.
You know? That's your two go-tos.
What I find with people sort of like alcohol too much. You know, they don't really, they'd love to stop and they know they should stop.
It's when it gets to a Friday and Saturday night, you're bored.
It's the same with people who want to lose weight. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's in their head to say, well, I know I should lose weight and I know I'm overweight, but sure, it's just one wee bit of chance. It's not going to do any harm, do you know what I mean? And that's a Friday. He goes on a diet on a Friday. Sure, no, it'll do. I'll leave it to Monday.
And then Monday lingers on the Tuesday.
And that Monday could last for 2 years. Do you know what I mean?
Start back on Monday.
Yeah.
I've been starting back at HM for a couple of months.
every Monday.
Yeah. See, you doing what you do. Is there a rule book? Like what you can and can't do? Because,
on what respect?
As in, like, because you can obviously get people to do stuff. But can you
just
get
them? Just say it, no, can, we were talking about it.
Can
the council
you
get, hangs so
say,
you
say, can you get your wife to go and do a thesis? I'll put it like that. Because
she doesn't want to, no.
No?
You can't make somebody do something they don't want
to
do. Right?
So what was my next question? I was going to say, could you get me to rob a bank?
If you wanted to.
But like without me, like if I sit down, no, but if I sit down, not sure.
If you came to me and say I want to rob a bank, but I need a wee bit of more motivation to do it,
you just go to go ahead.
Not that I would do that, right? But
hypothetically, but, you know, obviously, but there's loads of scenarios are that we could put to you. Yeah, like,
some people say, well, you can't make people do what they don't want to do, but you know, if someone's motivated to do something, you know, and they want to do it, all they really need is that we push, yeah. Right? This podcast probably going in the wrong direction.
we're just curious, and because we were talking about it, because we don't know much about it. We just see you just doing it like for like wands and stuff, and yeah. Then you just wonder like what is the limit? Like,
so the thing about it is when people come to see a hypnotist, especially in a club environment, 99.9% of people don't know what it is, and that's what the problem is. Some people say, well, some people can be hypnotized and other people can't be hypnotized. But the truth is, every single person, I believe, in the world can be hypnotized. Because we go in and out of hypnosis hundreds of times every single day, but we just don't call it hypnosis.
What would that be?
You know, have you ever got into your car, you jump into your car, you arrive at your destination, and you have no clue how you got there, right? For half the journey, you go into like that trance-like state, like a wee daydream, and you can't remember half of the journey. You know, in psychology, that's called highway hypnosis. Right, you weren't asleep, but for half of the journey you weren't there, so you were in some sort of trance. Have you ever had the experience where you're sitting watching TV or you're playing on a video game or reading something and something comes up and taps you on the shoulder? You know how many calls I called you half a dozen times and you didn't. Now again, you weren't asleep, but you weren't there. You were somewhere totally different.
Listening to music, I'd be going into trance listening to music.
That's probably why it's called trance.
You see an athlete trance music. That's what they do. You go into like an altered state.
Yeah.
When you see an athlete, take Mike Tyson, he talks about it all the time. He says, you know, when he's sort of going to the ring, he's so focused. You know, he doesn't hear anything, but once he gets into that ring. So that's a state of trance. You ever see these guys run 100 metres?
Mm-hmm.
And you look at their behaviours on the starting line. They have no clue of the crowd and what's going around. They're so focused on...
That's a part of hypnosis.
That's called hypnosis, you know. So it's something we go in and out of every single day. It's something that the mind's actually used to doing. But the difference, if I'm doing like a stage show or a comedy show, people are all sitting afraid because they're thinking, what's he going to make us do?
That's
something you would naturally do. And I always say to people, the only difference in you getting out of the hypnosis during the day and you come up here on stage is, are you just willing to let go of what all people think about you? Because you're going to get up here and do funny things. I'm going to get you to do stuff. Imagine it's hot, imagine it's cold, imagine you're at the horse racing, but it's something people would probably do if had a few pints in them anyway.
See, having a couple of pints, does that not affect you trying to get them to do stuff?
As long as they're not, you know, you can't hypnotize someone, well, you suppose you can, but for the sake of the hypnotist, you know, who's someone who's really, really drunk, they don't pay attention, and drunk people think they're hypnotized anyway, so they don't even listen to what you're saying.
They don't care, they're happy anyway.
There's a part of the hypnosis show, what's called the induction. You know, you're taking someone from a state of being conscious, which we are now, into a state of getting inside and accepting suggestions. Now, that's really the only serious part of the show. In my shows, it takes maybe 2 or 3 minutes. So if someone's not paying attention and they keep opening their eyes and they're looking for something else, or they're talking to their mates, obviously it's not going to work because they're not even paying attention.
Yeah.
And the find the drunker the people get, the more that happens. Because
they're messing too, something like,
yeah, and they don't want to pay attention.
See what you say to someone.
Yeah.
So see if I repeated them words, just in a different group of people, would it work? See, when you're hypnotizing, like the group of people, yeah. you have maybe 8 people. So say if I write down what you're saying, Diamond, and I go and say it to a different group of 8 people, would what's the difference? Like, are you doing something that I wouldn't be doing?
What you're actually doing is you're looking for compliance with someone. And what you're doing is you're giving what's called a post-hypnotic suggestion. So a post-hypnotic suggestion is a suggestion you give someone that they'll carry out when they either they commit a trance or they open their eyes and they're in a hypnotic state. So say for Toxic, who's someone who's in a in a hypnosis show and they're sitting with their eyes closed in trance, and I would say something like, when you open your eyes, you're going to hear this piece of music and you're going to believe you're Elvis Presley and you're going to get up and you sing. Now, the logical minds in trance go, I'm not going to do that. But once they hear the music, it's like, oh.
Is that right?
Do you know?
Absolutely. You know, when you're on stage, you're not asleep, or you know exactly what you're doing. What I always say is, you know, what a good stage hypnotist is looking for, sort of break it down and really simplify it, he's looking for show-offs. He's looking for exhibitionists. He's looking for sort of, you know, people who go out and have a few pints, and they would be the life and soul of the party because they want to perform, right? It's not when you bring people on stage and you send people back to their seats, it's not that they can't be hypnotized. It's just that, you know, maybe they're sitting with their eyes closed thinking, what's he going to make me do? I don't want to do this. And I didn't even want to get up here. My mates are all, I can hear.
Dragging you on.
Or someone who wants to perform, they're just going to follow what you ask them to do.
Yeah.
You know, so if you give them a go into trance and a few suggestions, you know, they're up for having a laugh and they're up for performing.
See, if someone's strong-minded and they're sitting there with a mentality, it'll not work on me, then you can't do it on them. It's because they're not accepting it. Is that fair to say? Ian?
So it's suggestion in itself, isn't it? You know, we're programmed by suggestion, and we give ourselves suggestions all the time. It's like if you take the comedy side out of it, and many people say to themselves, well, I can't do this. I could never do this. I could never do a podcast. You know, I would never get this job interview. That's a suggestion. And you tell yourself that often enough. And what you're doing is you're hypnotizing yourself into not doing it.
Yeah.
You know, I believe we go in and out of hypnotic trances every single day. And when you go into that state of like a daydreaming state, like someone maybe has an interview in a couple of days' time and they're maybe a wee bit apprehensive about it.
Mm.
And then they go inside and they think about, Jesus, what if this happens? And they create the worst possible scenarios. And then in their head, they see themselves failing the interview or not getting it. And they're taking themselves into trance and they're giving themselves visual and auditory suggestions. So by the time the interview comes, they'll either do one or two things. They'll either not go to the interview because they've talked themselves out of it, or they'll go to the interview and they'll mess it up because it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's like the law of attraction, isn't it?
The thing about the law of attraction is it's sort of this idea that, you know, if you repeat something often enough, you put it into the universe, it'll happen.
Do you not think that's the case?
No, you know, that it sort of has its place, maybe 10 or 15%. But, you know, I can sort of give myself a suggestion about making £1,000, and I can write that down 100 times every single day. But I don't get off my arse and get up and do a wee bit of work, or get up and do something. Nothing's going to work.
100%.
I might feel motivated, and I might feel good, but at the end of the day, that motivation's not going to last, because the more the £1,000 doesn't come in, the more I'm going to say...
And then you get frustrated.
You know, so... It's okay giving yourself suggestions and making yourself feel good, but you know, 90% of that has to be taken action. You have to take action.
See what you do. You're not born around it. You can teach it.
Yeah, I mean, I went to California and trained to do it. Went to California, went to Vegas, went to Manchester, done a training course in Dublin, London. So I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've been.
I was just going to ask you, when did you start? Why did you start back 20 odd years ago? What was it done?
Just needed a change. I done the door for 20 years.
Did you? You look like a doorman right now.
Down in Belfast. And I had like 75 doormen working for me.
Run
most of the clubs and the pubs in Belfast. Europa Hotel, Robinson's, the Parliament, the Mint.
You was on the door Rangers when I got bombed, were you?
What's that?
When that got bombed, was that?
The Europa Hotel was bombed loads of times. Years and years back, maybe.
Not that old.
Nah,
when you go back to the early 2000s, maybe you were on the...
Yeah, but it changed from Paradise Lost to the Elephant Rooms.
That's right.
I missed that. I didn't get to go to that. I was too young.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was just about to be, like...
Yeah, yeah.
See, when we were down in Filthies a lot of weeks ago, my leg.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
That was a Paradise Lost reunion night. So that's the season only after seeing their Paradise, all old school music.
So you just give it up,
just,
Matt?
I just did it for so long I needed a change, and I was always interested in hypnosis. I always sort of, there was a hypnotist, the stage hypnotist called Barry Sinclair. He's still alive, he's late 80s now, but I went to see him when I was about 16 with my family in the Arts Theatre, which was in Tonic Avenue. And I always remember this, I was saying, fuck, how cool it would be to do that.
It is cool. I think it's amazing.
20 odd years later, it was just, I'm going to do this, you know.
Do you still have the love for it that you had back in?
Yeah. Huh? I think if you have a, just like yourselves, we were talking before we come on here, if you have a passion for doing something, sitting around thinking about it, it's not going to get it done. You fucking have to get out and you have to sort of say, right, I'm going to do this. And you have to sort of take action every single day.
100%.
If I was to say, just for talk's sake, start working with you, I need a drive to get back to the gym. What's the first course you asking? What are you going to do for me?
If you wanted to what, sir?
Go back to the gym, because I'm in a rut. I'm trying to go back. This is true, by the way. I just can't make my way to the gym.
What's stopping you from going to the gym?
Excuses.
Right. Well, that's all it is, isn't it?
So that's what I'm saying. What are you giving me first? What's the first step?
The way I would actually do it is, I would have to do it on an unconscious level, because you know, you can have all the conscious reasons why you want to do something.
Right.
But the unconscious is the emotional mind. So if it doesn't want to do something, it won't do it.
Yeah.
It's like someone, let's go back to weight loss. Because many people want to lose weight. Many people know all the ways to lose weight. Many people know all the diets, but they still don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, so the conscious mind is saying, oh, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to do this. But they've trained the unconscious into a habit of not doing it. So the unconscious is saying, but we're happy enough here. Do you know what I mean? I'm sure, you know, it's not a big deal. So the way that I would actually do that through hypnosis and a few other things, associate so much pain, not physical pain, I wouldn't do anything.
You're already up the magic.
But so much pain in the fact that you stand the way you are, we're just not going to do this no more. Because that's what usually happens with people. You know, people get to the stage around something with it. They've made the excuses for so long, it's just like a flick of a switch and they go, I'm just
going
to go.
I see going to see you being told, right, actually, you're not a smoker no more. Is that psychological? You just do something to someone, going, why, he's put hypnotic, whatever it is you do. Then they're thinking, well, that's it, worked, so I'll just not smoke
that
it.
That's an element.
I'm sure that does happen.
There's a few skills. There's a few skills that I know as well.
Yeah.
The way that I do it, as I said to you before, I don't help people to stop smoking. Because if you're trying not to smoke anymore, you're still thinking about it. The way that I would actually do it is I would help people to start to think and behave as a non-smoker. Non-smokers don't smoke. They don't have any cravings or any withdrawal symptoms. But what I'm saying to you, right, try not to smoke anymore. It just doesn't work, because it's sort of called the law of reverse effect. It's like me saying to you, right, for the next 10 seconds, what I don't want you to do, right, is don't think of the colour blue. So your job now is not to think of the colour blue. So you have to think about blue, not to think about blue, so it doesn't work. So if you use that as a metaphor, and I didn't want to get you to think of blue, we just focus on a different colour.
Orange?
Yeah, or green or something like that. And then just reinforce that so long that that's all you're thinking about. So while you're thinking about that, the idea of the colour blue just disappears itself, because you're not focusing on it anymore.
It's interesting, big time. And like, do you know what? Just for the viewers watching, this is a wee bit different today, but we're just getting people on that have stories. And Gavin said to me about yourself, and I was like, that's brilliant. I haven't seen it on another podcast, and you have a story to tell, and it's good to get you on.
Are you allowed in the casinos and bookies and stuff.
that's a sort of different element of it. That's called mentalism and mind reading. And
see, I'm a big fan of Darren Brown, and I know he's not learning any. He's not in UK bookies, yeah, casinos and all. But like you could.
Would he be able to do shopping? Yeah, well, Darren Brown. Darren Brown, then not yourself. Would he be able to potentially do shopping?
He could.
I think to a certain degree, but I think a lot of TV and media has it hyped up more than
100%. Sure, like everything else.
I think if somebody like if Darren Brown or a well-known mentalist was to walk into a Las Vegas casino, I think the laws of the casino and I think the skill of the dealers and the tellers are not that stupid. Do you know what I mean? So it would take a lot for a good magician or a good.
You're not a mentalist. No, not. Are you an illusionist?
No.
Hypnotist is
the definition. But why would he be both?
Yeah, well, he calls himself a psychological illusionist.
Is that what it is?
I think he was a magician, so he loved that more. So, and the stuff's very good.
But I seen one. So you'll know us. They were on the airplane. And he was trying to convince a guy to stand up. The airplane was going down the stage that everyone's in on it, but the guy isn't, and he puts himself forward to land the plane. Yes. But see how they get him on the plane. So his missus is in on it. She brings him on a plane. He's in one of the seats in front of him.
And Darren Brown.
So Darren Brown's in the seat in front of him. They go on a real plane, right? Everyone's in on it. The guy's walking up the aisle, and Darren Brown just stands up, just taps him in the head, and he goes out. And he's out within seconds. He doesn't have to tell him to relax, nothing. He just put him out like that, and then what they do is to go and put him in a simulator plane, and then that's when they'll ask for him, can he land the plane? That's how they do it on him.
He thinks then he's still on the same plane.
He thinks he's in that plane, because then they wake him up in a simulator one and say it's going down.
That's terrible.
It's good TV,
but see the way he's just done that and just went, like, he put him out. How can you do that?
That's called a post-hypnotic situation. You know, there's people who are very, very susceptible to suggestion, more so than others, so it shows you, and when he's doing shows like that, you know, the show's a journey, he takes on a journey, so he's weeding out. I think the way he does it, he puts an ad on a paper to say he's looking, me giving you a suggestion that's primed in your subconscious that you would act on when you come out of hypnosis. So it's like on stage, what I would do is I would say to people, you know, when you open your eyes and you're about, every time I say the word sleep or deep to sleep, instantly your eyes are closed and you go right back down into the state. Right, that's misdirection, and then he sort of sees the people who are very, very highly suggestible, and he pick one that he thinks that he could work with. Giving someone a post-hypnotic suggestion is it's called fractionation and hypnosis. You know, you do that half a dozen times on stage, and every time they do it, they're going right down deeper in the trance, so it just becomes a pattern for them. You could tap somebody on the head and say sleep, do you know what I mean? So, but you have to prime someone into that. You just can't walk up to someone in the street and say sleep, because they would look at you and go no.
So here's what I was going to ask you. I'm sure you've got loads of mad like requests from people while there be events and all. Here, mate, can you go over and fucking do something to your woman there, like put like make her fall asleep or something?
Do you get that?
No, not really.
Have you not had mad?
Like, see, if you had a couple of beers with your mates around with day, and I'd be like, here, hypnotize her and we'll have a laugh, or nah.
No, we're very immature, mate.
No, this is the thing. 100%. Why not? Because if you tell someone you got a hypnotist on, be like, fuck here, did you ask them? Do you know what I mean? So it's just curiosity. Yeah. Why not?
When you're in a venue, they would ask you. You know, if I was going to a venue, you know, and before I go on stage, and people say, get him up or get her up, and would you do this to them, and you do that to them, do you know? As long as it's sort of ethical.
What's the maddest thing you've been asked to someone? Did you have to say, no, I can't make them do that?
Anything unethical, or anything, as I call, you know, I call it on stage dirt or filth, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because right. You've been asked to pull people's treasures and all down?
Getting people to strip or run about the stage, or simulate sex or anything like that. And there's a lot of guys do that when you go abroad.
Is there a rule book where you can't?
It's individual to the person. Mm. It's not something I would do because you don't need it. Yeah. You know, you don't. The thing about it is, and there's in sort of hypnosis, with hypnotherapists and entertainers, the hypnotherapist who you're only into therapy a lot of them sort of don't like the stage stuff. Mm-hmm. Because they believe it's, you know, humiliating people. But you can actually do a real good show without, you know, humiliating anyone. Just a bit of fun and a bit of crack, you know. So If you keep a show that's above board and you're getting people just to do like silly things they would do if they were having a laugh or they had a couple of drinks, you know, it's actually just showing the audience not how good the hypnotist is, because a hypnotist is no good without a good subject. So it's showing a person how powerful their imagination is. And I would always finish all my shows that the people come up on stage, you know, I would give them an audio, you know, if you had something you wanted to change, or you're looking to lose weight, or you're looking to stop smoking, or you're looking to do this, you can put yourself into the same hypnotic state you're in now on stage, and you can use the same form of trance to, as we talked about at the very, very start,
yeah,
to go from feeling motivated to motivated, you know. So it's even though you're doing the entertainment aspect of it, a lot of people walk off the stage and say, God, I know what I'm going to do now. I'm going to change.
There's more to it, like, because yeah, if you had to ask me, I hadn't a clue what exactly a hypnotist was. I just thought it was he put you asleep and
you're like, we just all like,
do you have any stuff? No.
do you know what I'm on about?
Yeah, I know what you said.
What is it? That's what I thought it was, but it's interesting to hear you saying it's people would walk away from a performance.
A lot of my work's in the corporate field too, where you're working with business companies. They all have put on sort of like workshops and seminars to motivate their staff. So it's getting in and showing them how you can use trance and hypnosis to make more sales, or to get motivated, or to get more disciplined on a daily basis, or to take your business from this level to this level. Because that's all it is, isn't it? It's all about motivation and unconscious persuasion.
See, whenever you're doing that, the businesses, you're not actually trying to hypnotize them. You're just putting words out there that
You're showing them how to take themselves into an altered state. A lot of business people and entrepreneurs, they're very focused and they're very motivated. But when you do that 24/7, you're overloading the brain and you can get overwhelmed and anxious. And so it's showing people how to do that and have that sort of mental balance.
And does it always have to be, like, can you offer anything I'm in a conscious state now, you know, can you say, just give me motivation? Or is it always just better that I'm hypnotized, so you can work with me if I need motivated to start back the gym? Do you know what I mean? Does it always have to be in there?
It doesn't have to be, but it's more effective.
It's more effective.
If you take yourself back to, you were saying, to start the law of attraction, which sort of stems from positive thinking. The whole idea of positive thinking is looking in the mirror and saying, you're using your conscious mind, you're saying, I feel good, I feel good, I feel good, or I feel confident, I feel confident. But the wee voice inside your head's going, no, you don't. Why are you saying that to yourself? You don't. You know? So the unconscious has developed an idea about not feeling motivated. So by taking a person into trance, you're changing the way they are at an unconscious level. So as the two parts of the mind are on the same page. Because the conscious mind wants to change and knows all the reasons why you should change. But the unconscious either has developed some sort of pleasure around not doing the behavior.
Yeah.
Or it's trying to keep you safe from something. It's trying to keep you from harm, or it thinks, well, if we do this, there's, you know, it's...
The mind's mad, isn't it? Like, it's just,
yeah.
Do you get to study the mind or not? Like, is that what you study to learn to be at?
Yeah, I mean, the courses that I've done over the years, it's, you know, you're learning about the mind, you're learning how the mind accepts suggestion, you're learning how behaviours work.
So that's what I was going to say. See, can you read body language? Would that be a part of it? No? Like, could you tell if someone was telling you lies?
I think no matter how well versed in it, there's certain tales, we'll say, of their arm spots,
their clothes, and stuff like that.
I believe if a person is good at telling lies, it's hard to tell that they're telling lies. And again, a lot of that there is blew up for
TV?
For TV and stuff like that.
Have you ever watched Lie to Me? Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
Have you watched Lie to Me?
Saying that there.
Ada can tell, like, he knows if people just lift their eyebrow, they're lying. But because you would obviously have to study, you would have had to study the brain, so I was wondering if that fell into that category.
That's called eye access and cues, and some fields of thought believe in it.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Some fields of therapy don't, and it's actually been proven that it's not as powerful as some people say. Because you can train yourself to look up when you're telling lies, you can train yourself to look up.
That's true.
Take everything else. You said the mind's so powerful. Yeah. Human beings can train themselves to do anything. We're learning machines, we can learn how to do anything. The best way to, and it's called modeling, the best way to achieve that is to go and find someone who's already done it. And ask them how they've done it, and you'll actually find as they break it down, it's probably really simple. But what we do is we put all these blocks in my head. Oh, I couldn't do that, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not, I'm too young, or I'm too old, and they're just suggestions. You know, you're better looking at someone saying, "Well, there's 7.5 billion people in the world, and they're all exactly the same, and they've all problems like you and me. Some are more focused than others." So find a person who's really focused on what you want to do and phone them up and say, you know, or contact them and say, listen, I'm trying to do this. Could you give me a few tips? And I find that people who are really successful, they're flattered. You know, people don't do that because they wouldn't listen to me. But, you know, obviously we get the odd one who's fucking in their ego, do you know what I mean? But you don't want to talk to people like that anyway. But most people who've achieved stuff, you know, they're flattered. You know, this person wants to know some knowledge.
Who would be your favourite hypnosis then? Like, have you anyone you would look up to? Would that guy?
No, I'm not really one of the people who are starstruck and stuff. Darren Brown's for entertainment value. I think he's very good, and he's a master of his craft. You know, and I think he does it over and over and over and over again. Where it's,
would you not say any of that staged? Would you say everything he does is real?
No, well, it's obviously it's.
But he does throw. He throws the frisbees and all it. That's, and then they throw it up, and that's where he gets his guest. So they throw a frisbee out and then they'll throw it. Surely you couldn't on live TV, you couldn't do that if you tried.
Yeah, but human.
So, you know what I mean? He's throwing the hurling, he throws it up the ad saying, he's throwing up Bernie, and that's his guess. He'll get them to do something.
But human beings are predictable as well. People think things are random, but they're not. It's like the magician with sleight of hand. Magician's doing something here, and you're thinking, how do you do it? But the trick's happening here. And it's like psychological illusions too. It's called sleight of mind. You know, they're getting you to focus on one thing, but.
Do a thing like Darren Brown, see if he wanted to, he would like where his hand, he'd be doing this, and then psychologically you're thinking of a box or a square, or he would say, he would, if he's going to ask you for a number, he would add, say the number 6, and he would throw it into a sentence where you're not even realizing he's throwing the number 6 in here, like, it took me 6 minutes to get to work or whatever, and then he's going to ask you a number, and the first number to come to your head is going to be the number 6.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he does?
And the reason why he's good at it is because he's been doing it.
It's what's Alec planting seeds.
Basically,
he's been doing it for so long.
Do you ever see the one he does? Is it him does it? And they're all, there's people, I know it's not him, but it's a video on YouTube, you've probably seen it. So they're all throwing a ball at each other, and you have to watch, it's a ball or something like that. So they're all throwing at each other, and you have to watch the ball and count how many times it was passed. It's actually a basketball, I think. And while they're throwing that, they're in a group of 6 people, and they're throwing it. A gorilla will walk in. Mm-hmm. It walks right into it. Have you ever seen this? Have you seen it there? So that's what he says. I should have let him watch it. So a gorilla walks into the middle of him and starts going like this. And it walks back out. No, you don't know. Watching that video, you don't know that gorilla walked in there and walked back out because you're focusing on that ball. I swear to God, I shouldn't have said this. I should have let you watch it.
I think it was an experiment they done in Stanford University years ago. It's in black and white, the video, the first one.
Wait, there, just, I wasn't a real gorilla. I was someone dressed up as a gorilla. I get fucking an alley in the comments.
It was two basketball teams, but what they actually do is they give you the pre-frame you first. They set you up first, and they say, what I want you to do is I want you to count the amount of times the team in the black are throwing the ball. So just focus on it. So what you're doing is you're narrowing your focus down to the team in the black, and you're so focused on this, right? You're trying to count how many times they're passing the ball back and forth. But as you're doing that, the gorilla walks across and waves and then walks away again.
That may be the one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it walks, someone dressed up and they walk in, and you don't fucking see it.
No.
That's the one
and then they replay it back again. So he sort of tells you, right, that there's a gorilla. Did you see the gorilla?
And you're like, I didn't.
But some people did and some people didn't. Aww. But, you know, isn't that how we get focused on life? We can get so focused on our problems and we're so narrow-minded on, I can't do that. There could be all sorts of solutions in front of you.
Yeah.
But you're so focused on not being able to do it. Huh? You're so focused on trying to count the ball that you don't get the solution. So it's about sort of taking a step back and
not being distracted.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, there's a whole lot more to it. That's mad. But I think if you were to get me to do, if you got that phone out and you're making me aware, right, keep your eye on this. I'm going to have the mentality, right, I'm not getting stroked here. I'm looking at everything.
But if you go in with that attitude, you're going to be, you need just, it's just a wee video, just like, just watch, count the ball or something, and
because
he's going to ask, are you not getting me, or is that fucking
no,
gorilla?
I can't do it now, but I'm saying, just for
I'll get you, it'll be our tape video, and I'll get
you
one
day.
Just
for example, if you're reading the crowd, and you go, right, I think I can work with him, as you said, you can do earlier, and you get him up. There's a lot of people not have the old shield up, and try to see, I'm not letting him hypnotize me here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. West Belfast, especially, you get people going, right, no sweat, I'll do it, he'll not get me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, the way to get around that there is to not, you know, my job is not to pick who I think I can hypnotize, right? That's the worst thing you could do.
Because right, okay.
At the end of the day, if you're sitting in the audience going, I'm going to show him that he can't do it, it's going to be a nightmare for me up on stage, because you're going to be sitting going, this is not going to work. So the way that I actually do it is, I mean, you know, my job is to get rid of that person straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
So you pick up on that quick enough?
Yeah, no, what I would just say to people, listen, if you're coming up here and you're trying to sort of, I can't do it.
Yes.
And that's not what this is about.
Yes.
And I would sort of say, if you want to try it and you want to have a bit of crack, right, I just ask for volunteers. And I say, if you want to follow along and you want to see what hypnosis feels like, and you have a good imagination, I would do a few imagination tests.
What does it feel like? Does it feel like falling asleep?
No, it just feels the exact same. You know, some people would say to me afterwards, well, I don't know if I was hypnotized because I could hear everything and, you know, I could hear all my mates shouting. And, you know, the difference, some people think when you're hypnotized, you're in a deep state.
I thought that you're just like, that's the feeling I get.
So
like,
it's the athlete thing, you know, the athlete's so focused on the race.
Yeah.
He's in a deep state of trance, he's hypnotized, but he's not asleep. He couldn't be further from sleep. He's so focused and motivated, but he's not there.
What's the most, like, how long could you keep someone in that trance for without them snapping out of it themselves?
Well, if you put someone in a state of trance and a state of hypnosis and you left them, and this is another misconception that, you know, you put someone in hypnosis and they get stuck in it and they can't get back.
See, it's
not possible.
It's not,
I mean,
bad.
if you leave someone in that state, you shouldn't. But if you leave
have you ever done it?
If you leave someone in a state of, they go into hypnosis, and you leave them, they'll just come out of it themselves, because yeah, after a while, the unconscious will go,
what's fuck's happening
here? Exactly. Oh, and, you know, and it's there to keep you safe, so it'll bring you right, conscious again.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you'll probably never get any customers again. They'll probably say, he just left me there. Yeah. It was a couple of hours later, and I was there on my own.
So there's no way of teaching it to someone with, like, in 10 minutes, no? Is there anything, could you teach me to do that to someone?
I wouldn't teach you to do anything. I would say you.
She'd be in doing that.
I would say you.
Here, can I take your trousers
naked
off?
And then you get lifted by the cops.
100%.
Your mom and dad worry me. He taught me to do that.
See, go over, like, as you say, as you were in America, learn it. How many years before you could perform and in front of people and, like, actually put them into the trance? I'm sure I'd take away, like,
tell a couple of funny stories, right? I'm sort of the type of guy, when I put my mind to something, I'll do it, right? Especially if somebody says you can't do it. So I went over, it was in Tustin in California, and I'd done the course. The course was in two parts, and I stayed there for the first, it was 3 weeks for the first part. And the guy who was doing the course says, right, okay, so what do you have to do? You have to come back. When I get home here to Belfast, I'm setting up my own office. He says, no, you can't do that. And I says, well, that's what I'm going to do. So when we done our first course, there was like 120 hours of practical. So you had some sort of experience when you get back. I'd done the other part of the course online on Zoom with him. I never went back to do that. But I had an office set up that week, and I was hypnotizing the first person 7 days later. My first office was in the Malone Road, the Wellington Park Business Centre.
Serious?
Yeah. And the weird thing is, when I had it all set up, you get motivated and focused. And I had my first client then, and it was just like a fear. It was like, fuck, this is real now. What do you do? But we were taught then to use a script. Guy says, if you get stuck, he says, you know, get the person to close their eyes. Their eyes are closed anyway, you know. So it was an easy way to learn then. But, you know, the first guy came to me, never smoked again. I was thinking, this really works.
Is that it?
All right. You know, I was just fascinated with it. You know, and then again, obviously, your craft, you know, getting better at what you do.
Yeah.
So I just went on different courses to learn more and become more advanced at it, you know. But all the while I was doing that, I was practically doing it. There was no theory. It was just practically putting what I knew theory wise into practice and knowledge, you know. The stage hypnotism was different.
Right.
I was going to go to Las Vegas to do a stage hypnosis course, and I phoned a guy who's in Vegas, and he does shows in Vegas. Mark Savard, do you call him?
I've seen Chris Angel in the Luxor. Yeah. I actually watched it.
And I was asking him for a bit of advice, and he says to me, Robert, he says, you really don't need to do stage stuff. You have to actually teach yourself, because it's actually quite easy to learn. So what he told me to do, right, is get, and I've done this.
Right.
It sounds really weird and stupid, but it worked. 10 chairs and put them in my living room and got 10 teddy bears. I put the 10 teddy bears in the chair. Learned the script. I just went over it again and again and again and again until I had, it's sort of, I suppose, like acting. You have a script and you learn it. And all the teddy bears went in the hypnosis every single time.
They were jumping about the living room like horses.
It was easy enough. And then after 2 or 3 weeks of that, I was saying to myself, I'm going to do this. So I went up to Sourcefields up there. And I went in the guy and I says, look, I'm a hypnotist. Want to book a show? And he says, well, we can hire you out the hall. And he says, I've done that, got the posters, put the posters all over the place. Never done a hypnosis show before, right?
So this was your first.
So I went down and I was saying, you know, maybe get 15, 20 people and they'll start me off. And I went down, there's fucking 250 people there.
Did you shake yourself?
I was like.
I'm trying to hypnotize myself here.
I was shaking from head to toe and I'm sweating. But I had like 12 people sitting on stage. Started the induction, 12 went down to 10. 10 went down to 8 off the stage. 8 went down to 6. And at this stage, I was...
What do you mean? They were just leaving?
They were leaving. They were getting up and going, this is not working for me, mate. And they were leaving. So in my head, I was panicking. I went down to 4. 4 went down to 3. There was 3 people, 2 fellas and a girl. 3 went down to 2. And then in my head, I was nearly defeated. I was going, what am I going to do? What am I going to say with these 2? But the 2 people that were left...
Were your 2 mates?
No. I should have brought the teammates. It was a fella and a girl, and they were brilliant. They were friggin' brilliant. The girl was brilliant, and the fella was brilliant, right? But in my head, I'd already been defeated, because in my head, I was saying, I'm going to finish this show, and I'm going to say, that was shit. You had like 12 people up there, and we had 2. But after the show, people were coming up and going, oh, that's the best night's entertainment we've had. You know, so I was so worried about losing the 10 people that everybody was focusing on them too, right? And if I had brought my 2 mates, I would have been 4.
Do you ever get people saying that's not real?
Every show.
Do you?
And see, the mates thing, no matter where you go, people say, you bring all them people with you. They're all your mates.
That's the easiest thing to say.
All them mates to bring with them.
200 odd people, yeah. Fuck, you'd be doing all right.
Could you do a full room of 200 people if they all ask you to?
Isn't that what that evangelistic preaching is? You ever seen that?
Nah.
You know, with the States, you know, they get them into a heightened state. And
hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Is that all when they start to start to carry on stuff?
That's all trance and that's all hypnosis, you know. So that I couldn't do it because I'm not versed in that, but that's what they do, you know.
So that was your first show in Sarsfields. You said there were 200 odd. So what did you move on to after that? Have you done bigger? What's your biggest you've done? Biggest crowd?
Probably about 1,000.
Where was that?
It was a corporate business, you know.
So would everyone be socializing, drinking, and all, or is that just
I think it was the Sustainable Awards, it was called. It was up in the place in Shaw's Bridge, we call that hotel
Crown Plaza.
And it was sort of the big white tables and the dicky bows and the suits,
yeah, the white caravans.
So a wee bit different, you know.
You ever had anything went bad for you?
In what way?
Fuck. Anyway, someone falling over or something. I don't, like, I'm sure.
Not really.
Chairs fall over, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes shows don't go the way you expect it, or you don't keep as many people up as you would like because people are, you know, they're not paying attention or they're not focused.
Have you ever had no one, like, did you pick out?
That happened once.
Did you just go right now 10? Or
did you start it all over again?
And then it fixed itself. That's where two mates could come in handy.
Oh, I had an emergency. You two run up the fence. You see it. You know what I mean?
But I think in general, you know, when people are coming to a show and they know it's a hypnotist, they know it's a bit of crack, and they wanna see a good night. You know, yes. So people are all. You always get, say, if you crowd of 100 people, you're always going to get 10 people that want to perform.
Would you? Because I would shy away from it. I couldn't do it. But we're going to try it on the cameraman.
We have a volunteer here.
So is that all right? Is that all right? Can we chat? Would you
and
do
you're
it?
All good doing that, are you?
I'll have a
we'll
go.
Try. So here, let me say, just before we do it, me and Craig aren't going to fall into this. Listen to what you're saying. No. Definitely not.
Let's have a couple of things first with the three of you.
Right, I don't want to fall in there.
Go ahead.
Just, it's sort of like just a pre-frame. Just
all right, there's cameras recording here, and we'll have his name.
But so weird, I don't want to fall in there. Trance, is that what you want to do?
No, right. We're not going to do that.
Because I'm getting a lot of feet sweaty in my hands.
I'm ashamed. Right, go over it.
What you would actually do is you would, you know, to see how susceptible or suggestible someone was, you would do what's called, first of all, suggestibility tests.
Fuck, my heart's going to
just seeing how good a person's imagination is. Some people's imaginations are better than others. So if I was hypnotizing one of yous on stage, you know, because you don't know what hypnosis is and you don't know what they expect, there's no point in closing your eyes and getting into hypnosis. So you don't know what's going to happen. But you know how to relax and you know how to use your imagination. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So I'll get you to do a couple of wee things. We're not doing any hypnosis here. We're just seeing. Okay. I'll get you to do a couple of suggestibility tests just to see which one of you three has the best imagination.
Right. And are you going to be able to tell us that?
All right, I'll tell you. And you'll be able to tell yourself. Right. That makes sense? What's your first name? John. Right. Okay, so put your hands like this. Right. And put your two fingers like this. Right. So in a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is, in a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. And when I ask you to close your eyes, I don't want you to think about this, right?
Yeah.
I just want you to picture it as if it's an image inside your mind. The way we think, we predominantly think in pictures. If I ask you to tell me the color of your front door at home, because your front door is not here, you've just done it. You have to see a quick picture inside your head. So I want you to imagine this is an image inside your mind, right? Mm-hmm. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. When you close your eyes, I want you to imagine on the tips of each finger, there's two powerful magnets. Mm-hmm. I'm going to count from 1 to 3, and I just want you to use your imagination. I want you to imagine as you squeeze your hands together, those magnets are going to pull your fingers together. So by the time I reach a number 3, your fingers are going to be touching, right? Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is use your imagination, right?
Am I going to deliberately put them together?
No, you don't deliberately do it, but you don't sort of hold your, I'm not going to do that,
right? Yeah.
You just close your eyes and just imagine what it would feel like if there was two magnets pulling your fingers together, right? So just stir them between your two fingers, right? Just imagine there's two magnets at each fingertip, right? Just close your eyes for me and just squeeze your hands together. I want you to imagine those magnets are pulling your fingers together closer and closer. Number one, getting closer and closer. Number two, those magnets are getting stronger and stronger too. And number three, pulling those fingers together tighter and tighter until they touch. Now, without moving your hands or doing anything, right? Just open your eyes and see where your fingers are and just look around you. Just look. So yours touched and yours touched. Yours actually touched quickest.
Did it?
Yeah. Yours didn't because yours probably sat and thinking, like,
I'm
not
even.
I felt my eyes starting to go when you were, before I closed my eyes.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
What's that mean? Am I
just
fucked?
Means you
No, go ahead. What the...
Just means you're really suggestible.
So he would be just one that would really work.
He was exactly the same, right? So let's try the next one, right?
I'll relax because I thought you were trying to transfer me in the transfers, right? Yeah. I was in the back of my head. Well,
it's just about suggestion. Right. It's about using the power of your own mind, right? So I want you to do the exact same again. I want you to clasp your hands together this time, right?
Right.
What you're going to do is you're going to use your imagination, right? At a moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, right? Now, this time, I want you to just push the palms of your hands together like that.
Yeah.
This time, I want you to imagine I'm going to count from 1 to 3, right? As I count from 1 to 3, I want you to imagine that I'm pouring super glue over your hands and your fingers. I'm going to count from 1 to 3. Again, just don't think it. Use your imagination. So much so that by the time I get to the 3, your hands will be stuck and glued together, and you'll not be able to open them, right? Again, all you have to do is just picture that and imagine what that would actually feel like, all right? So just close your eyes for me. Just squeeze your fingers, your hands really, really tight. And imagine I'm pouring super glue over those fingers and hands. 1, that super glue is running down in between your fingers and your hands, just locking those hands tighter and tighter and tighter. I want you to feel those hands getting tighter and tighter. As you squeeze those hands together tighter and tighter, 2, I want you to imagine that super glue starting to bond and set. It's getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You can actually feel as if it was actually locked and sealed in the place, like one single piece of wood. And 3, imagine those hands are actually glued and stuck together, tighter and tighter and tighter. Imagine those hands, that super glue, like one block of wood. And the next number you're going to try and pull those hands apart. But the harder you try and pull those hands apart, the more they just unstick together, tighter and tighter. So I want you to imagine those hands unsticking together, tighter and tighter. And 4, try and pull those hands apart. The harder you try and pull those hands apart, really try hard, try and pull those hands apart. The harder you try and pull it apart.
Oh, God.
Did you find they were stuck?
I had my fingers that more at the top.
Until you started panicking.
I was definitely starting to panic. Or with the glue idea. Like.
What's that? Is that just us thinking that?
That shows you, yeah. I mean, there's no super glue. There's no super glue on your hands.
No, I know.
There's no magnet. So it just shows you the power of your imagination.
Yeah.
You're the most suggestible out of everybody.
Is it?
Because
does that mean imagination or?
Yeah, I mean you're not consciously thinking. You're getting into your imagination, right? Mm. So there's another one I could do, but I'd like to do it with you on your own.
Is it why remain conscious?
Well, you will, but you'll know exactly what's going on.
Right.
But I just want to show you how powerful your imagination is, right? I'm not going to get you to do anything stupid or anything like that, right? You're not going to open your eyes. No, your clothes are going to be piled up against the door there. It's nothing like that's going to happen. Just want to show you how powerful your imagination is, right? And it only takes a couple of minutes. Yeah? Are you sure? Are you happy enough to do it?
I would rather you do it on him, but close eye. Can you not do it on him?
No, I'll do it on you.
Right, go ahead.
You need to stand up.
Guys, it's the fucking warm too, isn't it?
At the moment, what I'm going to ask you to do is, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, right? It's like all the way down, loose and relax. Just close your eyes all the way down. Let your whole mind and body just relax into this. You're just going to go into that deep state of relaxation. So as I count from 1 to 3, you're going to go really, really deep. I'm going to bring you right back up until this state where you open your eyes, you're going to feel absolutely great. It's going to feel as if you've had like a power nap, even though you've only been here for a couple of seconds. I count from 1 to 3, just open your eyes and come all the way back up. Sleep all the way down, just relax, that's it. Just let your whole mind and body go all the way down 10 times deep and 3. Just open your eyes. You feel anything different? You put 100% trust in me, because
right.
That's all we're going to do is just deep relaxation. And how did it actually feel?
I'm trying not to laugh.
Just take a deep breath all the way in for me. Take a deep breath all the way in. Sleep all the way down. That's it. All the way down. That's it. 10 times deep. Relax. That's it. Just open your eyes all the way back up again. That's it. Just take a deep breath all the way in. Sleep all the way down. Oh, that's it. 10 times deep. Relax. That's it. You're going to open your eyes and you're going to feel absolutely fantastic. As if you've had like a 10-hour nap and a body massage, and you're going to feel mentally, physically, and emotionally, you're going to go back to your seat feeling 100%. 1, 2, and 3.
Right, I'm not joking, I proper fell into your
on the second and third everything.
That's
what we're talking about when you're priming someone. You get someone to do something once, and it's like there's that wee bit of conscious hesitation, right? And my job was to make me feel more comfortable. All we're doing is relax. So the second time...
Well, I've meant something and I was falling harder.
So the third, the fourth time, it was like, if I had them in standing there, you would have been over there.
Oh, and that wasn't deliberate. Like, definitely not. I was a wee bit afraid of, like, going unconscious. So I think I had a wee bit of a guard up there.
But of course.
I felt very relaxed when you were doing that there, you know.
Bastards get me into that.
You feel good?
Oh, fuck it. Get on the fucking... And the working aid.
You were able to cage, yeah, and I was, you could do something there.
The first time and the second time, you were hesitant to let go, yeah, right? You were aware of
them two
laughing, right?
Yes.
But the third time and the fourth time, it was like a dead weight on my shoulder.
Well, if you had told him to get on like a chicken, he would have worked?
No, he wouldn't.
No?
Because he's still very, he's conscious of you being here, and he's conscious of
the distraction was
not making an idiot out of himself.
But what I took away from that was when I fell in them last two times, like, it's just like I felt
so if I wanted to work with you, you know, I would prime that suggestion to get stronger and stronger. Now, if we were sitting somewhere and that they weren't there and you were there for a reason, that hesitation wouldn't be there.
Yeah.
You knew you were there for.
So see that thing just tapped his head. Did you feel it?
I felt him.
You fell on him. And then you woke up full of beans.
Well, I can't even remember. He tapped my head, he didn't push me.
The suggestion I give you was when you open your eyes, I'm going to tap your head or shake your hand and say sleep or deep asleep.
Yes.
Suggestions registered in your subconscious.
Yes.
So when we do it straight away, it doesn't give the conscious mind too much time to think about it.
Yes.
And then when you do that two or three times, it's if the mind's going, oh, I know what to do now. Oh. So the third and the fourth time you've done it, I mean, it's like when I tap your shoulder, it was just bang, you know?
Yeah, it was. Do you want to know what? It nearly makes me, like having that... Got a wee bit of trust in you or something, even though I was a wee bit distracted.
You don't want to do that.
No. It just nearly makes me want to fucking try it or something again, do you know what I mean?
Into your pockets.
Your turn.
Where's the nearest bank?
Here it is, mate. That's why we got you up here. Shut up, we boogies down the corner. No, that's brilliant.
Do you think it would work on him? Or?
No, I think he was more susceptible. But again, with this environment, it's just...
That's no problem. Well, listen, mate, that'll do as well. It's nice to meet you. Where can people get you about your socials?
Social media,
Robert Herdman, or my website, roberthurdman.co.uk.
Instagram, TikToks.
Do you have your website?
That's my website. So, Robert Herdman on TikTok and Instagram.
So if anyone wants to book him for weddings, christenings,
and go on my Facebook page, it's Hypnotist Robert Herdman.
If anyone's looking to go off a face, get back to a gym, this fella can send you the right direction anyway. It's not just about falling asleep, because that's what I thought it was. Robert, thanks very much for coming on.
It's just, you know, hypnosis is not what people think it is, and everybody has the capability to change anything. If you're looking to change anything, learn how to... This is the problem. People don't know how to use their mind. You know, talking to people just makes you feel better, but learning how to use your mind and use your imagination, you know, you can change anything. You can take yourself from not feeling good or not feeling motivated to doing anything you want to do. So,
happy days, mate.
Thank you, Robert. Right.
Happy days, mate.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.